guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. It's Topical Tuesday, and today we're going to look at the topic of friendship. As we do this, we're going to read through John 15, 12 to 15, and then think through some implications when it comes to friendship. So this is what God's Word says from John 15. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Okay, so Roscoe, it's the topical on friendship. So,
thanks, Benny.
Here we go. Let's start with this passage, and then we can think through some principles from it.
This passage in John, this whole section in John, is really good because we are listening in between a conversation between Jesus and his disciples and how he talks to them and draws them in and expresses how he feels about them.
Yeah.
So we need to realize this passage you read for us is primarily about Jesus and his love for his people. So he would lay down his life for them, and that makes us friends with God.
Yeah.
So that's the primary lesson about what Jesus is doing in the world. But there are principles in here that talks about friendship and how Jesus is talking to his disciples as opposed to other people. Like, there's a lot of people locked out of that room when he's having this conversation. So I just want to pick up three principles, because I think friendship is very confusing at times. And I think this has got some gold in it that we can just think about who we invest in, what that looks like. So I'm really talking about those close handful of friends that you want to have around you.
Yeah.
And as we'll discover, there's lots of different relationships we need to be having. It's healthy to have, but I really want to hone in on that deep friendship. So the first point is from the opening couple of verses is to be the person people want to be friends with. So it's kind of about you. So Jesus says, my command is this: to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Yeah, okay.
Man, what do you take out of that? Yeah. Is friends take work, don't they? You need to invest. You need to lay down your life for others. And that's not just an instruction. Yeah, I'm doing it because I'm told.
Yeah.
But I want to be the person people want to be friends with. And we want to be friends with people who do stuff with us, for us, you know, for our benefit. And I need to be that sort of person for them as well.
Yeah.
To have the attitude to say, well, you should just take me as I am. Well, who wants to be a friend if that's your attitude? Because we're all selfish.
Yeah.
But if we're giving and laying down a life for others, man, oh, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
That sort of person.
So primary, you know, the primary secondary thing was helpful too. And I guess the primary thing that we see in this passage is that God's love for us displayed in Jesus in laying his life down for his people. But then secondary, you actually get this image of what it looks like for Jesus to be a friend. And the friend that Jesus is he's one that lays his life down, that he's actually selfless in the way that he interacts with people. And this gives us a model in terms of, for us, when we're thinking about deep friendships too, to actually be people that are laying our life down selflessly, not just selfish going, hey, I'm not going to change, but actually going, how can I invest, you know, by laying my life down in the people around me?
Yeah, yeah. And I think we should feel the weight of that.
Yeah.
That actually takes work. If I want to have close friendships where people are laying their life down for each other, that's going to take sacrifice from us.
Yeah. Now, you've got an image here that's helpful when it comes to IKEA. Is that right?
Yeah. I do like looking at the IKEA catalogs. Good. I see the furniture. I see the plants even. I see all this stuff. And I go, man, I want to deck my house. I just want an IKEA sales rep to come into my house and just design the interior of my house. The problem is I go down to IKEA, I buy a box with a flat pack and the Allen key. and I can't just lay the boxes around my room thinking, oh, this is awesome. I need to do some work to make it happen, to construct it all, to lay it out. Mm. And it's just that IKEA model of friendship.
Yeah.
You can't just buy it off the shelf and have it because you like the look of it. You've actually got to work at it for it to be a reality.
Yeah.
I think it's
a helpful picture. It takes time and energy to actually get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to make it a priority to make it happen.
So the first thing that we see is to be the person that people want to be friends with. We lay our life down for people. That's going to require energy and time and effort, that we're not just going to kind of assume that friendship's just going to pop up on our table, that actually it needs us to go, I'm going to be selfless and invest in the people around me that we have. Is that right?
That's right. That's okay.
Cool.
Second point is friendship is mutual. So it needs to be two-way. And we pick this up from verse 14. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, I've got to say on first reading, that sounds like a narcissistic leader going, I'm the boss, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. It's not, because we see that by the actions Jesus does by laying down his life. But what he is saying is, your behavior shows me if this friendship is real.
Yeah.
And I think the context is really helpful in this, because just before this, Jesus had a meal with them. Jesus took the role of a servant, put the towel around him, got down on his hands and knees, washed his feet. So he was serving them. And basically Judas, one of the 12 disciples, couldn't handle that, and he left to betray Jesus. So it's kind of put it on the line there. Mm. If you are my friend, you'll listen and obey. You'll show your friendship to me by your behavior. Mm. And Judas is like, no, I don't want any part of this, and left. So it is something we have to make a conscious decision about. Mm. Jesus, you got to think, he picks out 12 people, and you think about their backgrounds. They're not even like-minded to him. They're tax collectors. Some of them are really strictly Jewish religious people, but he has patience with them. Some of them are really annoying. If you read the stories about how Peter will cut Jesus off, Jesus halfway through explaining something, Peter jumps in with what he thinks is the answer and puts his foot in it all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you lay your life down for me. I'll lay my life down for you. It's like, Peter, just quieten down.
Yeah.
But yet he continually invested in them, and it was mutual. They had their lives transformed by Jesus, and they responded to that.
Yeah. When we think about that today, as you're speaking there, Ross, I think it's a helpful principle when it comes to friendship. Friendship's mutual. So if friendship's a one-way street, then that can often be a bit crushing. It's interesting because that, I think we're called to do that in different areas. As Jesus calls us to be a disciple, there are moments where we're called to just listen, where we're called to invest in people that won't give us anything back.
Yeah.
And that's helpful, but maybe that's not, a deep friendship.
Yeah. So you got to think, when Jesus is having the conversation in this room, he's picked out 12, started off with 12, now he's got 11. There are a lot of people locked out of that room.
Yeah.
So you got to go, well, we are called to love the world in a sense of loving them into the kingdom, showing them the love of Christ.
Yeah.
But I think this is like, who's your handful of key deep friendships?
Yeah.
If that's not mutual, that's not a friendship. It's not someone you're going to trust.
Yeah, it's kind of something else.
It
might be discipleship. It might be acquaintances. It might just be something, someone you're investing in. You might be a mentor, but it might not be a deep friendship.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
These are Jesus, who he literally calls friends.
Yeah, so I wonder, as you're listening to this, I wonder, and you think about some people in your life that maybe you call friends, I wonder if there is, different people that you go, oh, there's a group of people that, it is mutual. They ask me lots of things. They're interested in me as well. Maybe you're thinking about this and you go, oh, there's people that I'd call friends that actually never invest back and never are interested in me. And it's worth considering that and thinking through that.
Hmm. It is too.
Yeah.
That is also a segue to our third point.
Yes.
Is you don't want lots of friends. You want good friends.
Here we go.
And this is where we're really honing down on that close friendship network. So Jesus says in verse 15, and just pick up the language that he's using here, like the status. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father I have made known to you. So you get this thing, there are people on the outside, his servants, they're still his friends, and they're still, he relates to them, but there are some people, he says, you're my real friends because you know me, you know everything about me and my father, and there's a sense of trust and vulnerability that he's describing in that relationship with these guys. Now, to get to that stage of a relationship, you know, it takes time, takes effort, all the things we talked about before, about laying your life down for others to be in a safe place, which Jesus does get to that point. Now, how that works out for us, we sometimes have to make a judgment call about who to bring in close into our circle of trust and vulnerability and who to hold at arm's length. Now, that is something I don't think I've heard too many Christians talk about, but it's seen all through Scripture, particularly Proverbs. Let me just give you one proverb that warns about bad friends.
Yeah.
A perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. That's Proverbs 16:8. It's kind of saying, be careful who you bring in close, because not only will they stir up conflict in your life, but they'll gossip, so they're not trustworthy, and they'll separate close friends. They can draw a wedge between you and others. And I think we've all experienced that in some form, where somebody has come into our friendship circle and tried to bust things up a little bit, and that causes us trouble. So to be particular about who you invite in, and that sometimes takes a judgment call.
Yeah.
About is this somebody I want to be close friends with?
Yeah, so you can't kind of have everyone in your close center of friendship. You know, I was thinking about it as you were talking, like there's this, I guess there's this just reality. Like we all know that every yes is a no. So if you're hanging out with one person, you can't hang out with someone else at the same time. And we have limited space, limited time, limited energy. And so, yeah, we've got to figure that out.
Am I allowed to say some people take more time, more energy, more emotion than others?
You can say that, as long as you're not talking about me. But, yeah, I mean, that's right. So there's this sense that, like, you know, in an ideal world, we could be good friends with everyone.
Yeah.
But we are in a limited world with limited resources, and so we've got to figure that out.
I have heard of an illustration that I find helpful because I like Lego as well as IKEA. There's this theme going on here. But the IKEA, the Lego blocks, you play with Lego. You know, you got your squares with like six little things sticking up, and you look for the pieces that match. Some have got six, some have got eight. You can get up to like 12 little bits on top.
Yeah.
That if you go, that's an illustration of our capacity to how many friends you can have at one time. So if I've got a Lego piece with six little bits on it, I've got six friends I can fit into there.
Yeah.
I might want more friends, but actually my own capacity is to have six close friends.
Yeah.
The next person could have 10. Like we're not all the same.
Yeah.
It's actually acknowledges we're all different. And if you try and jam more pieces on, you're actually saying no to somebody else.
Yeah, you've actually got to take the free up room for that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A living illustration of that is we've experienced close friends, very close friends, and they move out of town. They move away. Now, when we catch up with them every year or 2 years, we have a great time. We're still solid friends. But you have to redefine the friendship because I don't see them every day anymore. I don't have that day-to-day reaction that I can bounce ideas off, share my life with. So the friendship is redefined.
All right, so as we wrap up today, to recap those three ideas there. Number one, we want to be the person that people want to be friends with. Number two, friendship is mutual. And number three, you don't want lots of friends, you want close friends. This is a topic that we don't often spend time thinking about. And I think these principles you do see in different ways throughout the Bible. As we finish up today, though, just wanted to kind of give you this encouragement that if you feel like you don't have close friends, if listening to this has been discouraging for you, a couple of encouragements. Number one is that in this passage we read in John, this is the invitation from God to have this relationship with Jesus. He's inviting us into a close relationship with him where he loves us. He laid his life down for us. And there's just something really comforting about that. But then number two, if you feel like you don't have this circle of close friends, to take some of these principles and apply them at your local church where you're able to invest deeply, lay your life down with the people around you, because in your local church, that's often where we do find our closest friends. If you want to talk more about this, we'd love to have a chat about this. We're by no means experts in this field, but we'd love to help you in your search for close friendships. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.